this morning, I want to say that you are all very responsive. Like, I'm hearing you clap, I'm hearing you sing. It's just so wonderful to be here this morning. You guys are doing an amazing job, all of you. You woke up early, right? You brave the potential storm that they want to all make us afraid of. No storm, it's lovely out there. Amen. You came to church, and I'm so glad you did. And Jesus gets all the glory and honor, honestly. If he didn't touch our lives, if he didn't give us the breath that we need to breathe to get up out of bed, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be doing what he's called us to do. And so I'm so thankful to be here this morning. Say hello to those that are joining online. I'm sure that Transformation Center has a lot of online viewers as well. Those that couldn't get out, but they still watch even from other places. So isn't that amazing what social media can do? We can send the gospel through those airwaves. And so I am here this morning. Pastor Derek wishes he could be here, but he's actually going to be he's up for bat, second batter up tonight when we're here at 6 p.m. So he's actually at home right now preparing for this evening. Because if you didn't know, of course, we are an Eagle Worldwide Church as well. Pure fire. We meet here at nighttime. We meet here at 6 p.m. So really, this is family. I love that introduction. That was so nice and kind, but I don't know really what to do with it. God gets all the glory. Honestly, he's a good God. And I did like one of the things he said, Pastor Alex, thank you. We've paid a price for sure. And I know you have too. And he does cut us and fashion us. And sometimes strip us, doesn't he? Because he has a purpose and a plan. And we just have to yield to that. Yesterday, I got the opportunity to prepare for this morning. I took it. I was up real early, 5 in the morning. And I've got my son here with me. Everybody say hi to Malachi. He's in the back. God bless my beautiful son. He's amazing. He drove me in this morning. Yes, he did. He drove me in. But he went to work with his father yesterday. They put in a big day. They left early, and I was up early. And I began to seek the Lord and pray because I knew I would be the one sharing because Pastor Derek was working, and he knew he had to prepare for this evening, so it was on me. But it's not really on me. It's on the Lord. So I was up early, and one of the beautiful things that, because I do tend to get words of knowledge when I'm in a place. I can feel things, hear things, see things. But he actually gave me words of knowledge in my prayer time yesterday morning, and I have a list of them. And that's the first time he's really done that to me, is beforehand. Not really, actually, that's not true. But he gave me some things that I would love to be able to pray with you about. But before I do that, I did see a vision in the house. And I felt like I just wanted to share it now. Just the way the service was flowing, I felt like I wanted to share it when I got up here. So as I was worshiping here, I kept feeling like this door was open, guys. Pastor Derek, Pastor Alex, Pastor Patty. I felt like this door was open, and in my vision, it was open. And I kept even actually looking over and saying, is that door open? Is that door open? And the Lord was bringing to my attention the apartment building that you can see right through that door. And he was sharing with me that I know you have had an influence there, and you've gone to that apartment building, and I don't know what you've said or what you've done, but I felt like there was a shift. Like, instead of you going and helping them, you were now saying, we need your help. And you were crying out to them saying, come to this building here. We need your help. And they began to come and serve in the Kingsway. Because there were many people in that building that want to be used. They want to do something because they're actually staying home all day with nothing to do. And that's what he showed me. So I don't know if it's a little bit of a shift that you can say, hey, we need your help. Can you come and help us here, mop the floors today? Or just and they were starting to come across the street and help you in the back. That's all I saw. So I don't know if that's a strategy from the Lord. I believe it was from the Lord. I don't know what you've done in that building already, but there are people in that building that want to be used, that want to lend a hand. And, you know, when you're a beautiful hub like this and you're a volunteer center, you'd be surprised. In fact, I'll just go back that story up. When I was on a walk a couple days ago, I encountered a young man with a cane. And I said to him, I just started a conversation with him because he was walking real slow and he had nowhere to go on this cane. And so I said, you're too young to have a cane. What's going on with you? And we began to strike up a conversation. He is a Baptist brother that just came to the Lord, was attending a church in the community that I live in, and I start to talk with him, and he begins to say, because I share about the Kingsway, I share that we're pastors, I share all this stuff in the minute, like 5 minutes, just downloading with him. He says, I would like to volunteer. He says, you know, I tried to get into the hospitals to volunteer, but they wouldn't let me. I said, well, we could use your help. And it struck my heart because I realized there's a lot of people that are maybe on disability, that are home all day, but really want to help. He did let me pray for his healing. Now, he wasn't too sure about women in ministry or the laying on of hands, but he still let me, and I still prayed in faith. Maybe he'll show up here one day to volunteer. Maybe some of those people are looking for something to do. So I leave you with that. That's what he showed me. Amen. Amen. Let's open up in prayer, and I'm going to share some of the words of knowledge that he gave me because I believe there's healing in the house. And he wants to heal you today, and he wants to do something brand new for you. Amen. So, Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you that you're a good God. You know everybody who's here today. You know everybody who's watching online. You know their needs. You know the infirmities that have been attacking them. And I thank you, Father, Lord, for everything that you want to do in this place this morning. We give you all the praise, all the glory. Lord, would you just begin to sweep in this place, even in a new, fresh way. Lord, we've already worshiped you. It's been beautiful. We have felt your presence, but we're asking even what now, just for a little bit more of your love, a little bit more of your power, a little bit more of your anointing, Lord, a little bit more of you, Father, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. You are a good God. You always come through for us. You are the healer. You are the deliverer. You're the one who sets us free in every area where we're in bondage. And God, we thank you, Jesus, that we magnify and we worship a God that hears, sees, knows, and is alive. And we thank you for your goodness in this house. And I thank you for Pastor Patty and Pastor Alex, for they too have paid a tremendous price. And I hear the Lord saying, Pastor Patty, Pastor Alex, that things are getting deep in this place. And I see water beginning to rise up, and it's just about at your ankles, but it's rising and rising and rising. And the Lord says that you are digging new wells. You're even uncovering old wells, and that water's about to bust and it's about to break. And the Lord says everything that you've done, he says it hasn't been in vain, and it hasn't been any toil of any kind that's in vain. The Lord says the prayers, the declarations, I see you declaring things. I see you decreeing. I see things coming out of your mouth that are uplifting, and it's like you've made a choice to speak uplifting things. You've made a choice to declare the words of the Lord. You've made a choice to remind the Lord, and these choices that you've made with your mouth and the dedication, the Lord says, the water's rising. The water's rising. My spirit, my water is rising in this place and in your midst, says the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Awesome. Okay, so this is what we're going to do. Instead of praying at the end of the service, I'm going to pray for you now. Is that all right? Is it okay to move things around in a Sunday morning service? Yeah. I know you have no problem because this place is free. We can have a bit of music or not. It doesn't matter because you guys have been plowing away there on the instruments. But I'm going to just share my list. This was on my notepad yesterday morning. When I share this, if one of these or multiple ones apply to you, would you come up so I can just lay hands on you and we can come into agreement with that healing or that breakthrough that you need? All I'll require is just a few catchers, okay? We're going to do this God's way. The first thing I heard him say to me was cysts and growths. I'm going to name them all so that nobody knows it's you standing up for the cyst and the growth, and then you're going to all come forward after I've named them, okay? Because I know sometimes, and some of the things here, we don't want to say, well, that's me, I have a cyst, I have a growth. I understand that, but I still want you to respond. Okay? Because I don't want you to come to me later or message me, as sometimes you guys do, that was me. Can you pray for me? No, now's the time. Because God knew I was going to be here this morning, right? Amen? So now's the time. Cysts and growths. I heard an abscessed tooth. There's some kind of tooth problem that keeps abscessing and giving you trouble in your mouth. And then I heard oral issues. So there could be a gamut of things going on in someone's mouth. Misaligned spine. That's exactly what I heard. Misaligned spine, heart palpitations, an overgrowth of body hair. How unique is that? But that's what I heard. Scar tissue from a previous surgery that's causing some concerns. canker sores in a mouth, sleep apnea, memory loss, brain fog, overgrowth of parasites. You might not know you have that. Mastectomy. I don't even fully know what that is. I think it's removal of the breasts or a need for something with the breasts. Fear of the future and pain from arthritis. Is there anybody in the house that has one or multiple ones? Come on up. I'm just going to pray for you and believe for that breakthrough. Amen. He reveals it because he wants to heal it. And I know that God is healing in this hour. So I'm going to just anoint my hands with some oil. I will ask for a couple catchers to be with me. And you can tell me. Sometimes I like to hear it. Which one was it? It encourages me because sometimes I think, is that me? No, it's usually not me. It's him. So you can tell me which one or not. It's totally up to you. And I want to pray for you right now. Amen? Hallelujah. Everybody right now, they'll begin to pray in the spirit here as you're up front with me. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you desire to heal the body in this hour. We need to be healed. We need to be set free because there's a mandate on our lives. And I thank you right now for every person that has come forward. I thank you for these words of knowledge that you've released with me. And I ask right now that you would heal every single one of these people that you lay your hands on. Because, Father, Lord, we're just vessels. Oh, you're just looking for flesh right now to move through. And I pray, God, that you move right now to every person that needs a healing, including those that are online. Amen. Let's pray together, and I'm going to anoint you. God bless. Hallelujah. Let's do this. Father, Lord, we thank you. So just come with me, all right? Thank you. you so much, even for having that music going. Everybody take a deep breath. And so, Father, Lord, we just pray right now that everything that was released here in your spirit, by your power, the healings manifest and remain. Everybody say, healing remain. Deliverance remain. So, Father, Lord, I want to pray that everybody be filled right now, fresh with the Holy Spirit. Just begin to fill all of us up right now. We thank you, God, that you are a good God. And we thank you for the praise reports that we are going to now begin to walk in, live in, and experience in you. You are a healer. You are our deliverer. We love you. We give you all the praise for what you've just done. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. So this morning, I do have a message, and I've titled it, Are You Ready for a Better Version of Yourself? So that's what I called it. Are you ready for a better version of yourself? So it's kind of like a question, right? So if you're ready for a better version of yourself, then I have a second question for you. Do you look like Jesus? Because that's the best version, new version, amplified version of you that you need to be. It's, do we look like Jesus? Oh, because every single one of us, we sure want a better version of ourselves. And many people will focus on their fitness. Many people will focus on their nutrition. All of these are important. Many people will focus on outer appearance, better version, or I need to connect with a new mentor. I need to be with somebody that's going to help me be and go where I need to go. All very good. I'm not downplaying any of that at all. But if we truly want to have a better version of ourselves, we're going to have to reel it back and say, do I look like Jesus? And I'm going to share a little bit of scriptures and talk about that this morning, because I really feel if we are going to make an impact today, we need to look like him in a brand new way. This is what we're supposed to be aiming for. It's, are we conformed to his image? Do we look like Jesus? Do we act like him? Do we talk like him? And so God's greatest desire, it is to be conformed to the likeness of his son. And we can see this in scripture. And I'm going to read a few things here in the word of God. We need to know what the word of God says, and we need to apply it to our lives. And in Romans 8:29, it says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. He's interested in us looking like his son. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul wanted to be just like Jesus. He wanted to look like Jesus, act like Jesus, talk like Jesus. So should we. It is possible. A lot of us today, especially the young people, they've got role models, sports role models, people they want to be like, look like, people in their high schools, whatever. I mean, you can just see that. If you take a look at these young people's hair, have you guys, my son included, I should have him come up here so you can look at his hair. If you go to the high schools today, they all have this big hair. It's big curly hair. They want to look like a certain person. They want to follow that trend. And they'll even go, young people will go and perm their hair. These young men perming their hair so they can have a big, nice, puffy, curly set of locks. Isn't this true? Did anybody have any teenagers? Am I the only one with kids around here, teenagers? No. I just have to go out in the streets and look. They all look the same. If I drive by the high school, I cannot differentiate which one is my son. They all poof the same hair. Take a look. He's at the back shaking his head. And they pay big bucks for these haircuts. Let me tell you what. His is natural, Pastor Patty. It is. We're not paying for no perms. His is natural. I say that to make y'all laugh, but I'm telling you what, young people, even adults, we're looking better version of myself. Who can I emulate? Who can I look like? Who can I be like? We're wasting our time, everybody. Stop looking around and start looking to him. Because Jesus is our pattern. Jesus is our ultimate role model. And I'm, like I said, I'm not saying we do need mentors. We do need to read books. We need all of that. We need pastors. But I'm telling you what, our focus needs to be is, do I look like him? Amen? So if you allow Christ to live in you and allow him to remove the you, well, then that's really living. Because this generation, and myself included, we can get so self-absorbed and so into me. Inward. You. Me. When that is not the way to be. It's lifeless. It's not going to get us anywhere. But if we begin to shift the perspective and say, I want to have the best version of me. I'm ready for the new version of me. It's going to look just like our Savior. But there's some things that are going to have to happen, because it sometimes takes a lot to get the you out of you. But God has a way to do that, if you'll allow him. It can be smooth or it can be rocky. But he is concerned about you being conformed to the image of Christ. And if we are not conformed, and if we don't look like him, we are not a good representation of Jesus Christ. And if we look at what's going on in the world, things are crumbling, not only in the world, but in the church world, crumbling. Come on. Anybody being on social media? Anybody seeing what's going on? People that have been put on pedestals in the Christian community are crumbling. Things that have been covered up for years. That is not somebody looking like the image of Christ. That is somebody who is full of addiction, who is full of evil, who is concerned about them and who they are, not who Jesus is through them. And saints, it is time for the body to rise up, because I'm telling you what, stardom in the Christian field, done. We're done with the stardom, because the stars are falling. And we've been worshiping these people and their platforms, when really we need to be worshiping Jesus and start looking like him, so the world will say, ah! You smell different. You look different. Your yes is your yes, and your no is your no. You're a person of integrity. Oh, you don't mince words. You say it like it is, but it's laced in love. There's something different about you. What's happening here in the hub? People coming in, it feels good. It's because we're manifesting Jesus. That's what they're feeling. But it's not up to your pastors to only manifest it. You need to come in here. You've been self-feeding yourself all week in the Word, in prayer, spending time with Jesus, loving on him, and you come in here together as the body, and you worship the Lord. And you don't examine your pastors and say, stir me up, give me what I need. Come on, I'm going to criticize you. No, you come in ready to serve God. Because you've been feeding yourself all week long and you have a relationship with him. Oh, I really didn't like the worship this Sunday. Oh, I don't know why. Oh, does Pastor Alex have to always give a prophetic word? Yes, he does. And you need to too. Come on. Oh, people like to. Don't be one of them. You want to look like Jesus? Zip your lip. Zip your lip. Stop criticizing. Take a look inside. You want to be a better version of yourself? Then start to focus on looking like him. Come on. Woo! Now you might not want to have me back. Maybe you will. I like to get a good spanking once in a while too, don't you? I get corrected, don't you? Of course. And sometimes he will correct us through our leaders. Sometimes he will correct us through our husbands. I was just corrected by my husband the other day, and it was good, Pastor Patty, Pastor Alex. It was good, because I was ready. I said, oh, Joe, stop. Joanne, he doesn't call me Joe. Babe, hey, I don't think you should do that. And I had to take a breath. I'm going to listen to you. You're right. I'm going to calm down here, because I am Italian. I'm going to calm down here, and I'm going to listen to my husband, and he was right. He's probably watching this morning. No, he should be praying and preparing for tonight. But he's probably maybe has it on as he's praying. I don't know. He was right. Correction can come in all kinds of ways. We got to be open to it, though. God will correct you in the Word. God will correct you in your prayer time. I'm looking for some correction because I want to look like Jesus. I don't want to look like anything that's going to be like a bad image projection to somebody. I'm interested in winning souls, in being an ambassador for the Lord. When I used to work with Walt Disney, I like to share this story. An ambassador from Walt Disney spoke to us as we were in training. And I remember I was a new Christian. I was maybe born again only a couple years. And she sat and she was talking to us and she was called an ambassador with Walt Disney. And I looked at her and in my spirit I said, wow, Lord, I want to be an ambassador for you. I liked how she represented her company. I liked how she held herself. I liked how she was professional. I liked how she knew how to make that company sound so wonderful. I could hear her dedication. And I knew that Walt Disney was not my future. I was on flat on fire for the Lord. And I knew that God was calling me to serve him in a greater capacity. And I said in my heart that day, I want to be an ambassador for you, God. Isn't that amazing? Don't you want to be ambassador too? If we're going to be ambassadors, we got to know what Jesus is like. And we've got to look just like him. We got to act just like him. We need to know how to represent the kingdom properly. It's going to take some work. I'm getting a little bit of off, but you're getting my point, aren't you? So how do we get conformed into the image of Christ? Well, let me tell you what the word conform means in Greek. It's in the Greek, the word is syskemaizo. And it means to be molded according to a pattern. Back in the day, remember when your mom and dad sewed, or your mom usually would sew garments? My mom used to. And we used to go to the pattern store. They don't have those anymore, I don't think. Maybe they do. Fabricville. Do they still do that? Do people still sew? Yeah. Well, in my home ec class in high school, we had to sew. We still had to sew. I had to learn how to do hems on a pant. Anyways, my mom would go out and we would buy those patterns at the store. And then she would lay that pattern down and cut the fabric according to the pattern. Well, that's what the word conform means, is we're to be made and act and perform and be like the pattern of Jesus Christ. Not the pattern of this culture. Not the pattern of a different culture in a different nation. Not the culture of Walt Disney. But made and conformed in the pattern of Jesus Christ. There is a pattern out there. If you feel lost, if you don't know your destiny, if you're like, what is he calling me to do? I'll tell you right now. It's to look like him. We all think we need something grand and grandiose and magnificent and a platform and this. Are you kidding? Your neighborhood is looking for you to be the pattern of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? You know somebody who's sick across the street from you? You bring them something nice to eat. You know that someone died? You go pray for them. Whatever that is, what would Jesus have done? Even beyond that, why don't we go start laying hands on them and praying for them? Did I tell you about my Muslim neighbor who was dying of pancreatic cancer? And I kept feeling, I got to pray for this man. Oh, I would talk to him. I brought him a loaf of bread. I was trying to minister to him and show him I was a nice neighbor. And then one day that opportunity came and he came outside and I said, Derek, we were both sitting out the front. I said, we got to pray for this guy. I've been feeling I got to pray for him too. He says, you go, I'll stay back here. So I went. And I went to pray for him and lay hands on him. And before though he would let me pray, I told him what I believed. I told him I was a Christian. I told him I believed in healing. And he wanted to argue with me about Christianity. He wanted to argue. And I said, sir, I said, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. I said, will you still let me pray for you? Because he's the only one who heals. And after his spirit calmed down, and he stopped arguing with me because he didn't believe, obviously, in my same God. I still got to pray for him. He still let me lay my hands on him. Did he get healed? No. Did he die? Yes. But I got to share the gospel with him, even though he had an argumentative spirit. How do I not know that when he was dying, he didn't say, hey, my neighbor across the street, she talked about you, Jesus. And I'll tell you, after I saw his heart and how he argued with me and how he was against Jews, he hated Jews. It was very clear. I began to pray for him and say, God, I did what I felt you felt me, I felt that you told me to do. Now, Lord, would you just give him a vision? Would you like let him see the man in white? Would you like, and I just started to pray that way. I believe, and my new prayer is, saints, you know what it is? When I begin to evangelize and talk to people and pray for their souls, I start asking the Lord, I just want to see them in heaven. God, please, I want to see this person in heaven. Please, this is my heart's cry right now. I want to see them in heaven. See, we don't know what can manifest here in this life, but don't stop sowing seeds. Don't stop laying hands on people. Doesn't matter if they want to argue with you. We know the truth. It's Yeshua. It doesn't matter if you hate Jews. It doesn't matter if you're Muslim. You need Yeshua just like I needed him. Don't let people intimidate you. Step out. Jesus stepped out. Jesus was led. I felt like I was led. It doesn't always turn out the way we think, but don't let that stop you. Amen? But I say all that to say, this is the stuff that looks like Jesus. What I'm doing up here, I'm just trying to help you. But what I do in my private life is the daily stuff. It's the prayers. It's the intercession. It's just touching the people that will never come into this building. I can't get them to come into this building, but I can go to where they're at. Didn't Jesus do that? Not everybody gathered in the synagogue. He went out to where they were. Hello, church. This is what we're supposed to get back to. You come in here, fired up, ready to worship together as one body. Sure, get your healing, get your freedom, get built up, but then take it outside of these walls, please. Just take it outside of the walls, wherever you go, whatever you do, at the gas station, at the grocery store, with your neighbors, on the work site. And look like Jesus. If you're a Christian going to work, you need to be 5 minutes early and you need to leave 5 minutes late or 10. You need to do work with integrity. Your reputation will stand out and it'll come to a place where what's different about you? Why do you conduct yourself that way? And you get an opportunity to share the gospel. See, we're getting it all wrong. I had a little while ago, someone who used to be in ministry sharing that, and they're actually in the marketplace now. Again, they always were, but they were a season in ministry too. And they were saying things like, I don't get the body of Christ. I have more warfare in church and with believers than I do when I work in the world. That grieved my heart. That should not be so. Yet we see the body fighting each other, arguing, pulling each other down, contention, jealousy, anger, all the stuff that you would think would be really outside in the world, which it is. This person was confessing it was worse within the four walls of the church. Guys, it's time to start looking like Jesus. We have not been doing a good job. It's time to change. But see, don't point and say, well, she really needs to change. No. We're talking about a better version of ourselves, not a better version of what Pastor Patty should be or Pastor Alex. Are you kidding? They're doing great. And there's perseverance on their life. You want to emanate them? Sure. Give them a clap. They are. They need to hear that. I'm a pastor too. I understand. We need to encourage and pray for our leaders and our pastors because they're on the front lines pioneering, trying to bring a breakthrough. You think they just show up here in the morning and they've been out at the disco all night? Do you think? No. No, they don't. They've probably, before they speak, have been asking the Lord probably all week, a couple days before, Lord, what is it you want to have me share? What is it that the body needs to hear? Use me. There's a preparation. Anytime a serious minister comes before a congregation. But don't you know? You need to prepare yourself too. Because maybe your congregation is when you go on the job site and get in your truck and get onto the construction scene. Maybe your job, your audience, your pulpit is when you go to work as a nurse. Or when, whatever it is, guys, you're getting it. You've got to prepare yourself. You can't leave it up to everybody else to prepare for you and just kind of wing in. Hopefully they'll lay hands on me. Hopefully I'll get the healing I need. Hopefully. Are you kidding? They're not going home with you every night. They're not tucking you in. Did you say your prayers? Did you open your word this morning? Let's grow up, guys. Come on. We want to look like Jesus. We got to start somewhere. Some disciplines. Conform. Oh, let's go back to the notes. Molded in the pattern of his son. Conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. God's desire for you and I. See, it's Jesus' image that God desires us to be conformed to. I've been saying this. We need to become just like Jesus. Let me share a few more things. The thoughts, words, actions, surrender, submission, and character traits of Jesus Christ that he displayed in his life when he walked this earth. It's our example. And here's the deal. If Jesus got through it, if Jesus knew how to do it, if there was an answer that came for Jesus, well, then same as for us. You have to understand, Jesus Christ was 100% God, but he was 100% man. And he did that so that we could identify and understand. Well, Jesus' heart was broken. Someone betrayed Jesus. He lost his father, Joseph. He experienced death. He experienced people speaking bad about him. It says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with sorrow and grief. Don't you know that whatever you're going through, you can look to the image and to the life of Jesus and say, he went through that too. Well, he lost his father, Joseph, they say, at around maybe 15 years old is when his father died. You lost a father? You lost a loved one? Jesus did too. Anyone betray you, stab you in the back, walk with you for a long time, and then turn on you, and you don't know why? Well, Jesus had that too. Judas, what is it? What is it that you are looking for counsel in or someone to show you? How did you get through it? What did you do? Jesus has the answer. He has it. He went through it too, so that we can identify with him. Amen? So, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you that if we're going to do this successfully, and if we're going to conform to his image, one of the things we do need to do is detach from the world. It's difficult, though, because we live in it. And I'm not talking about being some flake or nut. Ooh, I don't live in this world. Are you kidding? You got to pay your taxes. You got to pay your bills. I'm not saying, oh, God's going to provide it. He will. And sometimes he provides it through work. Often through work. So we can't be flakes and nuts and just say, oh, yes. No one's going to want to follow you if you act like that. They won't. You're laughing. It's true, though. You know it. You know it. So we have to detach from the world, not in a weird way, but in a right way. No more sitting on the fence. The pull of this world is real. And the Bible does warn us, and I'm going to read from the Passion Translation because I like how this one sounds. 1 John 2, 15 and 17. It says, don't set the affections of your heart on this world or in loving the things of this world. The love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible. For all that the world can offer us, here are the three, listen. The gratification of our flesh, the allurement of the things of the world, and the obsession with status and importance. Let me read those to you again. Because this is what the world offers. And these are the things you need to be aware of. So they don't pull you in, because there is a pull. Let me read them again. This is what the world can offer us. The gratification of our flesh. What does that mean?
Oh, I'm so emotionally upset. I'm going to sit here in front of the TV and binge. Because it makes me feel good. Because I'm broken. Let's get a tub of ice cream in, Derek. Let's just eat this thing. I gotta get high. I gotta get a fix. I'm a drug addict. I gotta gratify my flesh. I'm so lonely. I'm not married yet. God's not answering me. Where's my spouse? I feel so lonely. I'm gonna watch some porn tonight. Oh,
I'm going to gratify my flesh. Any of these things ever attack you or in your past life before Christ? Gratification of the flesh is immediate. I feel so down. I'm going to veg out. I got to de-stress today. I'm going to watch everything and everybody on Facebook today. I'm getting on Facebook. I'm going to spend all my afternoon looking at Instagram and Facebook. I'm going to make a post. I'm going to get on the brag book and tell everybody how good I'm really doing. Instant gratification. Oh, it got quiet in here. But it's the truth. We want to feel good. That's the world. You know, I'll tell you what doesn't feel good. Disciplining yourself every morning to get up maybe at 5 a.m., go to the gym, open your Bible, pray in tongues. Ooh, anybody pray in tongues? This stuff is not fun, but it is when you're in good with God. It's the things you want to do. But there's a battle, because the devil would rather say, no, don't read the word today. You're too tired. Sleep in. You don't need to pray in tongues. Let the pastors do it for you. Come on. It's going to take discipline. Will it gratify you immediately? Yes, possibly, because you'll feel the presence of the Lord. You'll feel invigorated, strengthened. You'll know his direction for the day. See, we have to begin to shift what's really important to us. Jesus took himself away and went to pray, didn't he? He always sought the Lord and his direction for his decisions. Jesus lived a disciplined life. You want to look like Christ? You want to have a better version of yourself? It's called looking like Jesus, even in discipline, areas of discipline. And we can all get better at that, can't we? Okay, so gratification of the flesh, allurement of the things of this world. Want a new car. Look what the neighbors did across the street. Look how nice their landscaping is. Man, did they get also something new? Wow. Wow, look at Pastor Joanna's jacket. I really like that jacket. I need a jacket like that. Yes, sure. There's no problem with nice clothes, nice things. But it can't be what we're living for. Those things come. They come with serving the Lord. He doesn't have a problem in you having anything lovely or nice. And if you think that that's wrong, let's break off that poverty mindset that comes from a religious background where the Catholics were supposed to be poor and take even vows of poverty and the priests could have everything. Are you kidding? I think God wants us all to be blessed and all to be prospering so that we can use that money for the kingdom and his purposes. Because I don't know about you, before I met Christ all those years ago, I was not concerned about giving any money to anybody except me, myself, and I. And all the money I made went on me and my stuff. But then I met Christ, and now I want to tithe, and now I want to give, and now I'm helping people on the street, and now I want to do something different with my money. Anybody had the same experience? And that's what the devil doesn't want. He doesn't want you to have a revelation of giving your finances to help people. Sure, when you get blessed, everybody gets watered, yourself excluded. You get to have a little nice something, whatever. But it's not your passion is to have so much so just for yourself. Are you kidding? It's kingdom time, saints. Amen? There's a dying world out there that needs to use, that God wants to use you to bless them. And I love how God will use blessings even amongst the body of Christ. Doesn't the word say if you got two tunics and your brother, sister, you needs one, you take that tunic, you give that other tunic away. Do you know we have clothing here for donation? You got too much in your closet? Sometimes I have too much in my closet. I like to give it away. You got to give things away. You got to give. You got to bless. We can't be sitting on it all for ourselves. But the world says, you're never satisfied. Have more. Oh, the new phone will make you happy. Oh, that new updated this, that'll make you happy. Just have that. They take it for you. Oh, you got another photo, but you don't want to give it. No. Just hold that one too. Right? That's the pull of the world. The obsession with status or importance. Wow, I won't talk about this one long. They didn't recognize me when I came in. I want to be recognized. I want status. I want power. I want importance. I sucks. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Does Jesus get the glory? When he looks at you, when people look at you, do they say, wow, they manifest Jesus. They're kind. They're loving. They're different. Their conversation isn't always about them, but maybe they ask about me. They're asking about me. They're not talking about them and what they did and what they have and where they're going, what they're doing. They're actually asking, how are you? What are you doing? How are you doing? How can I help you? That's what Jesus would do. Jesus didn't parade around. I'm going into the synagogue now. I'm going to be preaching. Oh, didn't you know I'm traveling because I have to preach the word? Come on. Come on, guys. We got to do this all together. We got to look like him. The world is looking for you to manifest yourself as a son or daughter. Praise God. Okay. So how are we going to do this? How are we going to manifest? How are we going to look like Jesus? Well, we're going to look at him. And what do we see Jesus doing? He prayerfully turned to God for direction. Are you prayerfully turning to the Lord for direction in your life, whether small decisions or large? Are you asking him to confirm when you have to make a decision, when you have to go somewhere, when you have to do something? Ask him. You want to look like him? Jesus asked the Lord all the time. He says he never did anything he didn't do. He never did anything unless the Lord instructed him to do that. Do you have that kind of relationship where you're asking God, am I supposed to do this? Or is it just, I'm going to do this? Or is it, God, do you want me to do this? Give me a confirmation. Is this your hand here? Is this a go? Is this a yes? We've got to be asking the Lord. Jesus did all the time. Humbly listening for the Lord's guidance. It's not like, do you want me to do this? Oh, I didn't hear you. Okay, so I'm going to just do it. We're humbly waiting for him to say it's a go or it's a no. Or hold on, Joanna. Or yes. Or yeah, whatever. I bless this. We're waiting. And then when we hear, we are following direction. That's key too. Because maybe God will say, give that to that person. And you don't want to give it to that person. You don't follow through because you think, did I really hear? Should I? But I really like this. Or maybe I don't want to. And you're disobedient. And here God has to start again with you. But I'm telling you what, when you get in that ebb and that flow of asking, waiting, hearing, and then being obedient, you begin to have a dialogue. He begins to download more because he knows you're asking him. He knows you want to do what he wants, and he knows you're going to follow through and be obedient. A lot of times, we have no problem with revelation. We're hearing, we're sensing, but we're not being obedient to what he's telling us to do. Because sometimes it hurts your flesh. Sometimes it's not comfortable. Like praying for the Muslim man that wants to fight with me about Jesus Christ and Jews. That's not comfortable for me. Would it be comfortable for you? Of course not. But nothing's really comfortable. And we're not meant to stay in a place of comfort. He's trying to shake us up. You might get yelled at. You might get mocked. You might get spit on. You might. But if he's asking you to cross the street and do it, you got to do it. It's called obedience. And God's looking for people that will give him their yes, because Jesus gave God his yes. This is being conformed to the likeness of Christ. He's our example. I have so many more scriptures, so many more things to say, but I think you get it. Do you get it? Are we ready to look a little more like him? I started out by saying, are you ready for the better version of yourself? Well, the better version of yourself is a yielded life, is a life that seeks God, hears him, waits for him, and then is obedient to do what he's telling you and I to do. See, your call is different than mine. The people you're going to meet are different than the ones I'm going to meet. Your neighborhood looks different than mine. It's time to rise up and look like Jesus. It's time to give this world some hope. And we have the King of hope, the King of glory inside of us. Just let him out. Now, I'm not talking about perfection. None of us are perfect, but we are in a process of being conformed into the likeness of Christ. You have the ability to resist or submit and surrender. You see, because we all have that self-will. Some of us have very strong wills. We're born for leadership. We're strong. But don't let that self-will of yours overpower the will of God. Amen? Because we know that Jesus was strong, yet he was meek. Meek doesn't mean weak. Meek means like a horse that has a bridle, a strong horse, but he knows how to listen to the commander. You want me to go right? I go right. You want me to go left? I go left. Bridled, tamed, under the control of what God wants. Don't you want to be like that? I do, because I want to make a difference, and I know you do too, so stand up to your feet. And I'm going to pray for you and bless you. Thank you for listening to my message. I know maybe it struck you, I hope, in a good way, because sometimes we need to change and we need to realize, like, okay, I've been a little off course. I'm getting back on track. I want to look just like Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to share what you put on my heart. And we are interested in a better version of us. And that better version of us looks just like Jesus. So, Father, Lord, I pray, God, that you would help every single one of us this morning. That we would be gladly, willingly conformed to the image of your Son. That we would no longer resist you, put our back up against you, contend for what we want, or be conformed to this world and its desires. But you would help us to detach and reattach to the one who died for us. There's no other that laid down their life that we would have new life, true life, eternal life. It's you, Jesus. And because of what you've done, and because how the Father sent you as his only begotten Son, laid down for us to rise up. We look to you, Jesus. We look to you, your image, the way you were, the way you are, how you conducted yourself on this earth, what you did. We are to do those same things. So, Lord, today it is the cry in our heart, if that's your cry, and that you really would like to conform to the image of Christ in a brand new way, with a new tenacity, with a new hunger, with a new dedication, with a new surrender. Just put your hand on your heart, because it's a supernatural thing. He has to help us with this, because it doesn't come easy. But with Christ, with God, all things are possible. So, Father, Lord, you see the hand on our heart, and we truly desire to be conformed into the likeness of your Son. Would you help us this morning? Would you peel back any kind of layers that have been on our heart that have hindered us from looking just like you? So I pray that you'd heal any brokenness, that you'd heal any places of jealousy or envy or bitterness, abuses from many years ago or recent ones, things right now that keep us entangled even in this world, hungering for the things of this world. Father, Lord, would you just help us to let it all go, let it all fall to the side, and that we would pursue you with everything inside of us, that we could truly be a reflection of Jesus Christ on this earth, because, Lord, people need to see what a true believer looks like, and let that be us here in this room today. We give you our yes in a brand new way. Amen. Just give him your yes. Hallelujah. Let's give him a big clap. God bless you.